aboard the Truth Express with your conductor, Erskine, who give you the latest on national news, politics, policies, business, and government issues.
Gregory Wrightstone, man, I really admire. He's a geologist. He's a person who stands up for the science. He stands up for facts. I love that. It isn't how he feels, thinks, or wants. It's the facts. He goes directly to what's going on. And he is 35 years as a geologist, researching, studying aspects of the Earth's processes. He believes in following the scientific process. Wow, what a difference. Following scientific process, making policy decisions based on science, facts, data, not political agenda. It's what we have right now, following the political agenda. Author of Inconvenient Facts, the science that Al Gore doesn't want you to know. President Biden made the green agenda his top priority. And what's that going to do? Well, it's going to destroy the economy of the United States. We're seeing it happen daily. It also is destroying the environment. It's not making it better. The green delusion is no path to energy independence. That's the title of an article that you wrote, Mr. Wrightstone. You can get it at co2coalition.org. Biden's energy independence by way of the Green New Deal use U.S. energy, 79% of its petroleum, gas, coal, 9% nuclear, less than 5% is solar and wind. However, we have discontinued most of our coal, whereas they're building coal plants on top of coal plants in China. Now, are they doing it better than us? No. Is it cleaner than ours? No. And the fact of the matter is coal is still a viable commodity. But when they shut down the coal plants in Germany, they had a cold winter because they weren't able to effectively produce electricity. You've got the same thing happening here when they shut it down. And it's the poor people who are suffering. These people are affecting the poor the most. The poor people of Appalachia, people who've been miners, who have supported this country and helped make the country great, shutting down Appalachia, Pennsylvania, the other coal-producing areas, the Dakotas. They have been shutting it down. And even on the Indian Reservation, Four Corners, the largest coal plant in America, basically shut down. Pollution, no, it does produce CO2. But the CO2 is just a scam. CO2, without it, we don't have any plants. We're not getting the fertilizer because of oil production, and we're not getting the CO2 for plants. We're going to have problems with food? Yes, we are. Plants don't get CO2. They don't live. It's that simple. That simple, isn't it? Or am I just oversimplifying it? I don't think so.
No, you've got it right. What we're seeing is an Earth and its ecosystems that are thriving and benefiting and prospering from modest warming, and it's warmed about 1 degree Celsius since 1900. That doesn't sound too alarming to me. And we got an increase in CO2 of about 130 parts per million since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. But that increase in carbon dioxide is fueling plant growth. It's fueling vegetation in every niche, every ecological niche that we find on Earth, from the poles to the equator. Everything has been, all of these areas have been just exploding with vegetative growth. The Earth is greening because of the combination of modest warming and increased CO2. And we should celebrate that. And it's being demonized. Instead of the many benefits that we see from the increase in carbon dioxide and slight warming, it's completely overwhelmed by these actual misinformation on catastrophic consequences. And we see it played out time and time again, where we see scientists from people that we should respect, from the UN, from the World Meteorological Organization, from other groups that we should respect, are twist the data, use statistical sleights of hand, and outright manipulate data and data fabrication to come up with a preordained conclusion of catastrophe linked to man-made warming. And just the opposite is happening.
Just the opposite. I like what Mark Mills said. He wrote in this article of the Manhattan Institute. And I've got a dog in this fight because I used to have oil and gas wells in Oklahoma, so I'm very familiar with it. And you say scientists have yet to discover and entrepreneurs yet to invent anything as remarkable as hydrocarbon in terms of combination of low cost, high energy, density, stability, safety, portability. This means that spending $1 million on utility scale wind turbines or solar panels will each, over 30 years of operation, produce 50 million kilowatt hours, whereas the equivalent $1 million spent on shale rig produces enough natural gas 30 years to generate 300 million kilowatt hours. Now, 50 million versus 300 million. The reason they don't use natural gas a lot for producing electricity is because it's too expensive. It doesn't heat up as well as the coal. Coal is your most effective and cheapest form of producing electricity. Cheap electricity is equals prosperity. The cheaper you can produce electricity, the better for prosperity. Now, I like natural gas for cars and a lot of different things. It's a very clean energy. But coal is more efficient for producing electricity. I didn't know this. You talked about how it gets the water hotter than anything else, right?
Oh yeah. And natural gas though is a very efficient commodity. And the good news with natural gas is we have a super abundance of it. And in fact,
we got 500 years worth of natural gas in this country. We have it. Nobody else has near as much natural gas as we do.
Yeah, well, I'm about to impart some shocking information to you. You understand we've got a lot. I did some of the early research on the shales of the Appalachian Basin, and in 2008, right, whenever I was researching the resource potential of the eastern shale basins, I coined a new term of mega giant gas field. A giant gas field has 3 trillion cubic feet. TCF.
Oh, wow.
Reserves. Well, it gets better. A supergiant has 30 TCF or more. A megagiant, I coined the new term megagiant, as any gas field that has 300 trillion cubic feet of gas or more. Now, bear in mind, there are only 3 megagiant gas fields in the world. 2 of them are located in the Appalachian Basin of the eastern United States.
Wow.
Pennsylvania, eastern Ohio, northern West Virginia. 2 of the 3 mega giants in the world are located right there, and they're vastly under access. There's a third field. It's called the Burkett Shale. It's above the Marcellus. It's a super giant. It's got probably 100 TCF of reserves. I'm about the only scientist. I think I might be the only one that's really researched and written much about this particular shale. I call it the red-headed stepchild of all the shales and all the gas plays in the United States. It's completely, almost and totally ignored. But yeah.
Now let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. How deep are these? Are these you have to go to get to the gas?
Well, they're from 5,000 to more than 12,000 feet in depth. Everything goes, if you can imagine, eastern Ohio, eastward into Pennsylvania, these things are getting deeper and deeper and deeper. So the 2 shales in eastern Ohio might be 4,000 or 5,000 feet in depth. And as you move further to the east into Pennsylvania and into West Virginia, the deepest one is the Utica Shale. It deepens to more than 12,000 feet in depth. Marcellus is above it. At the deepest, it's probably 7,500 feet in depth. The Utica has just an incredible, this is the deep shale play that's most of the deep stuff has yet to actually be tested. And it has been tested, but it's sitting there virtually untouched.
Just one of those is enough to power the country for the next 50 years. One of those or more. Right.
Yeah. I've got this article. I thought it was going to go out today, but perhaps tomorrow on Real Clear Energy, the details, this, look for it. And it links to our first comprehensive, I was a co-author of the first comprehensive peer-reviewed study of the Marcellus Shale and its resource potential. That was, I think we published that in 2008. There's an update in 2016. But again, we look at this, and here's another thing that'll blow your mind. the when we look at recoverable reserves for gas plays, that's one thing. Right. That's how much gas will eventually come out. We also look at gas in place. In other words, how much gas is actually in the ground. And the gas in place for the Marcellus Shale in the Upper Devonian series is more. We looked at the top 10 gas fields in the world. You put those top 10 gas fields in the world together, and they don't equal the gas in place of the Marcellus. That's how big it is.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Does that not send shivers up and chills up your spine? That's how big this thing is.
And it does. And when you consider that even among the voters, 70% want increased oil and gas production, renewable land use as noise problems, as tank problems. 300 of the wind projects were rejected since 2015, 13 of the solar projects. They use up so much land. And what are you going to do with the solar panels after they're used? Nothing. And the wind and solar, and of course, the wind chops up birds and everything else. And the wind and solar, you've got a real problem disposing of them as you do with the batteries. They're very hard to dispose of, aren't they?
Well, they are. And just let's just talk about the birds for a moment. Just yesterday, ESI Energy, which is a subsidiary of NextEra Energy.
Right.
Pleaded guilty to killing bald eagles and golden eagles in their facilities. They said up to 150 bald eagles, mostly golden eagles, were killed in their facilities. Most of virtually all of them were being struck by wind turbine blades. And just think about that. I worked with a gentleman that found a dead bald eagle and took feathers from it. And he was fined $10,000 and given probation. And the reason they got this fine is they didn't apply for the correct permit. See, if you put up a wind turbine facility, a wind farm, you're allowed to kill bald eagles. You're allowed to kill golden eagles.
They give you
basically a limit. We said, well, we think we're gonna kill 23 bald eagles or golden eagles on this facility over the next 5 years, and they'll give you a permit to do that. You didn't know that. Nobody knows that.
No.
And they didn't apply for the correct permit. And so just think about this. Here's our national symbol being struck down in its majestic soaring flight by a wind turbine blade. I guess we have to destroy our primary bald eagles and destroy the planet in order to save the planet. And also the thing with the UN and their recent extinction report, they said the greatest cause of extinctions and threats to species is habitat loss. Well, what's their solution to climate change? Destroy the habitat, pave it over with solar panels, cut it down for wind turbine farms. Again, I guess they think you have to destroy the planet in order to save it.
We'll be right back. The Biden administration is quickly moving to implement the liberal fantasy of socialist spending. After spending a $2.1 trillion stimulus, the president and Democratic-led Congress have introduced another $3 trillion plan to add to our insurmountable debt, seeking to raise taxes on Americans making as little as $200,000 a year. Have you seen the immigration footage? 87 million putting illegals in hotel rooms and our troops sleeping on parking garage floors. Could this be the biggest single gold buying opportunity in history? Well, Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs say this is the time to buy gold. Patriot Gold Group, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may qualify for no fee for life IRA. Call 800-356-4470 for details. Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs top rated gold IRA dealer, 5 years running. Call 800-356-4470 today. Well, wind and solar is good. Electric cars are good. And we should transition to it like we got transitioned to flat TV screens and cell phones. It's not that easy. It's not that simple. The Biden energy policy, versus the people's need. Fossil fuel is bad for everyone. They're telling us that it's bad for everyone. Well, is it bad for everyone? I don't think so. I think it's the most energy effective, and it's probably the best for the environment is your fossil fuels. I still think nuclear fuel is good, but the fossil fuels. Now, when I'm looking at this, push. If you're going to get wind, if you're going to get solar, you're going to have to go to China to get it. And they're building more and more coal-fired plants in China than you could shake a stick at. Whereas a country like Germany, they quit the coal-fired plants. And look at them. They were freezing the last two winters. They've been freezing in Germany. They're begging for fuel. This is where it's gone, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, you're right about that. It's they've just got their priorities backwards, don't they?
They certainly do. It's almost shut down the entire economy of Germany. They can't get electricity for heating. They can't get it for their factories or anything else. It is really wreaking havoc in their country. They want to do the same thing here. Now, is this part of the deal that Biden cut to when he sold us out to China? Is this part of that? I think it has to be part of it. Nobody would willingly give up energy independence. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, it's exactly what we've done. And it took a little bit of work. It's easier to destroy something than it is to build it. And
oh, yes.
It's going to be very difficult to get these things back on track. And who in their right mind, if you're an oil executive or CEO of a company that wants to spend money on natural gas or energy development, how do you propose spending huge amounts of money if you think that the chances is you're going to have your legs cut out from under you by the administration? They might be talking out of one side of their mouth right now, saying, "Well, we want more energy, we need this, we need that," until they don't anymore, and then they'll enact regulations that'll cripple you. So not only is the oil business risky, as you know, now we've compounded that with regulatory risk that's perhaps unacceptable for these people looking at their money. And there was just an interview on Squawk Box this morning with a U.S. House of Representatives that she was asked if she supported fracking. She just wouldn't answer the question. What she did say, this is with Morning Joe, she said that, well, what we need to do is have the oil companies produce more gasoline. And he asked him, what about producing more oil? And no, we don't need that. But no, so we're going to produce more gasoline, but less oil.
What an idiot.
Yeah, and she's opposed to fracking. She goes, no fracking. I'm very opposed to it. Well, how are you going to get... You can produce without fracking in some areas. The Gulf Coast is one. Alaska is another. The Gulf of Mexico. You don't need. But the bulk of probably 85% of the new oil that's being produced has to have fracking. It just does, and it's proven to be. We've had more than 100,000 wells now that have had multiple stage fracks in them safely. And back in the day, whenever the anti-fractivists were screaming bloody murder about, you know, there's a three-headed goat and a calf that was born with eight legs, and they were just making stuff up. And we found out that the fear that they were promoting never came to pass, as is true with most of these fear-mongering.
People don't know what fracking is, Greg. They don't know that all it is opening up the holes so that the oil can come through better because it'll paraffin up and everything else. It just is reopening up the holes. It isn't destroying anything. It's opening it up so it'll flow. It's like a river under there.
Absolutely. And the physics are you can't harm fresh water by fracking because
it's a different stratum. We'll be right back. The Biden administration is quickly moving to implement the liberal fantasy of socialist spending. After spending a $2.1 trillion stimulus, the president and Democratic-led Congress have introduced another $3 trillion plan to add to our insurmountable debt, seeking to raise taxes on Americans making as little as $200,000 a year. Have you seen the immigration footage? 87 million putting illegals in hotel rooms and our troops sleeping on parking garage floors. Could this be the biggest single gold-buying opportunity in history? Well, Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs say this is the time to buy gold. Patriot Gold Group, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may qualify for no fee for life IRA. Call 800-356-4470 for details. Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs' top-rated gold IRA dealer, 5 years running. Call 800-356-4470 today. Makes me wonder where some of these people went to school who talk about it may interfere with water fracking, because they must have gone to the University of Dum Dum, because oil and water, we learned this a long time ago, they don't mix. There are different levels, different formations. You've got oil at one formation, water at a different formation. You don't want a lot of water. Now, if you're, I found a lot of the oil wells that I had, you had salt water. That's not good for anything. You had to have that hauled off. That cost you a lot of money to go with. And then you had went through the separator, and it went through the gun barrel where you separate out the oil and the water and the gas. And if you've got a gas line, then you've got gas and oil coming out of the same well. That's the way it works. I mean, people don't understand it, do they?
Oh, no, they don't. Absolutely not. Because most of the fracking goes on 5,000 feet and deeper. And the fact of the matter is, when we frack, we create vertical fractures. And there were stories of these vertical fractures
reaching up
into the water, which is usually less than 500 feet in depth. Most of them are less than 200. And the fact of the matter, the physics of this dictates that a vertical fracture can't reach above about 2,000 feet in depth. Because at about that time, the physics of it are that these vertical fractures go horizontal. So it's impossible to propagate a vertical fracture up into these water zones. We know that to be the fact. Again, after 100,000 plus wells have been fractured with this. And bear in mind, each well that's fractured, they might do 15 or 20 or 25 individual frack stages for each one of those. So the actual frack stage is probably up to the millions number of times it's been done safely, effectively, without harming fresh water.
That was big jobs for Schlumberger and also for Halliburton. They were big on that and still are, which without fracking, we would not be energy independent. We would not have been. Now, taxpayer dollars are subsidizing a lot of the electric cars and a lot of the new things that they're coming out with that way. Without it, it wouldn't even be feasible. And plus, on the batteries, the rare earth minerals, nickel's in extremely short supply. I think there's one nickel mine in all of the United States. And there is one rare earth mineral mine that Phil owns up in Canada. And that's the only one. Part of that is because of, we've talked about last hour, overregulation. They won't let us mine. Now, the nickel mine and the rare earth metal mine up in Canada, a guy named Muggerson put that one together, and met every FDA, every EPA standard, EPA, not FDA, but every EPA standard, but it took a lot to do it. Now, all the regulations, we're over-regulating this industry, in my opinion.
Oh, not only this, it's just about every industry they're overregulating. And that's how they want to do it. They can't do it through legislation. That's
not
going to happen.
Bureaucrats doing it. Bureaucrats putting in that regulation. Right.
Unelected bureaucrats at the EPA, Bureau of Land, and other agencies are clean air and water, EPA, you name it. They're trying to backdoor. They want to kill coal, kill oil, kill natural gas, kill everything related to fossil fuels, and they're doing it with these unelected bureaucrats passing rules, bypassing the legislatures of each state and our federal government to hamstring and put businesses out of work. We see that. I just moved from Pennsylvania to Florida, but in Pennsylvania, we've seen it with the water regulations there that are so stringent now. The last two coal-fired plants in Pennsylvania are likely going to shut down because of these crazy, unobtainable water regulations that they're imposing.
But these people are the elites. They know more than we do. Don't you know that? Come on. They know more. They are our masters. That's not the way this government is supposed to have been set up. I learned a lot from gas executives' attack on coal. Reveal his naivete from that article. I didn't know it started in Scotland back in 1550s to 1700 with transition from wood. Today it's clean energy. It helped end poverty, cleaner fuel for the third world, produces cheap energy. In the third world, they were using wood. How much pollution is wood doing? You can tell in the wintertime when people are burning their fireplaces in the wood. Coal is a lot better. 40% of the world's power in 80 countries comes from coal. It's the most abundant fuel. Make coal-fired plants close to deposits, so it's very efficient. They don't have to transport it because some of them are built right up on top of the deposits. High efficient heat to electricity, 40% versus 33% of natural gas. Coal produces what? Two things, water and CO2. Come on, they're both good for us, right?
Yeah, water and CO2. Now coal, there are a lot of other things when you burn coal that are produced.
Well, they've got scrubbers. They've got scrubbers they put on that takes out a lot of the particulate matter.
Yeah, one of the problems we have are the really high efficiency clean coal technology is pretty expensive, and we can do it. There's only actually one plant in the United States. That's the Turk plant. In Alabama, that has this. It's really expensive, but you're right. If you employ that, you can get nothing but CO2 and water vapor coming out of that. But the problem is, China's funding most of the coal-fired plants in Southeast Asia and Africa right now, and they're not employing this clean coal technology. And so when you don't employ the clean coal technology, what you're doing is add a lot of these bad things. The nitrous oxide, the sulfur oxide, particulates, a lot of these, that's bad stuff. And so what we should be doing is funding Africa and Southeast Asia with the America has stated they're banning any capital expenses for new coal-fired plants. So what does that mean? Instead of us funding clean coal power plants, China's stepping in and building them with this dirty technology. It came back to bite them in the rear end. They had good intentions, but that didn't work out so well.
Don't you know that pollution stops at the country's border? Didn't you know that, Greg? Come on, you knew that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure about that.
Biden wants carbon neutral. CO2 causes global warming. There's no proof it does not cause global warming. It follows global warming. The sun warms the ocean. CO2 is dissolved in the water, releases into the air. That's the greatest source of CO2, isn't it?
Yes, it has been. Right now, over the last 50 or 80 years, the increase in CO2 that's in the atmosphere is, I strongly believe, and so do my fellow scientists at the CO2 Coalition, we support that. It's the burning of fossil fuels, coal, oil, natural gas, that's elevating carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And we're okay with that. I like a big carbon footprint because, again, we see that the many benefits of CO2, I was going to say outweigh the risks, but I don't quite know what the risks would be for increased CO2. It's not runaway greenhouse gas warming. It's not that it will lead to horrific consequences because we know that the warming periods throughout Earth's history were hugely beneficial for both ecosystems and for humanity. The really warm periods, there were three of them, prior to the one we're in right now, all of them were warmer than today, and all of them led to great empires and civilizations that rose up during those really warm times. And again, it was the cold periods that were horrific. And isn't that just opposite of what we're being told? We're being told, oh, we can't let it get warmer. There's going to be famine and pestilence, and we're all going to die.
Right,
well, no,
right.
that's not what's happened. It was the cold periods that led to droughts and famines and pestilence,
well,
and mass depopulation.
Drop it by 3 degrees centigrade, and a lot of the countries like the Ukraine and Canada and those places in northern climes, they will have no crops. Their wheat crops will be done, finished. 3 degrees centigrade, it's that close of a temperature drop. They're going to be praying for global warming if we have a global cooling. And we know when it occurs. The sun has its cycles. A lot of these people forget about the sun. And they're confused. The other thing that they do is they confuse weather with climate. Weather short-term, climate is long-term. And they've planned this out. The Russians know that. Tim Ball did a lot of work with that. Of course, Dr. Ball paid a terrible price for this. But they did a lot of work with that, showing the cycles, 100,000-year cycles, 30,000-year cycles with the sun. Nothing man can do is going to change the cycles of the sun, unless we can put a thermostat on it, which I doubt.
But yeah, I don't think so.
They've really forgotten. They really, in their rush to do away with all fossil fuels, they've forgotten about the sun, haven't they?
Yeah, they don't want to hear anything, any other method that might increase or decrease temperatures other than man-made CO2. We don't dispute, and I don't dispute that carbon dioxide increases has some warming effect on the atmosphere. It has to. It's a greenhouse gas. We just think it's very modest, and overwhelmed by the same natural forces that have been driving temperature since the dawn of time. And again, we celebrate the benefits of increasing CO2.
You have fought against the misinformation, and you've written a book about it. You've written a book about the misinformation called Inconvenient Facts, and that can you get at www.inconvenientfactsxyz.xyz, or you can go to Amazon and get it. But when you're talking about it, some of the facts that are out, the hockey stick thing, the global age, well, I know that was the one that they talked about, which was totally bogus. And when they asked them to bring in the data showing how great the increase was, they said, no, I can't do it. Why not? Because the data was all phony. The World Meteorological Organization, you write about that. Increase of disasters the last 50 years from weather, climate, water extremes. Oh, my God, we're all going to die. Increased by a factor of 5. CO2 is all to blame. That's what they're saying. How did that work out for them? What happened? Was that an honest report?
It was an outright lie. Scientific.
Every news media picked it up.
It was scientific malfeasance is what it was. They took from the period 1970 to 2000 is when this group started reporting on disasters and logging them. Well, it took them 30 years to build up this reporting network. So from the period 1970 to the year 2000, their chart that they're referencing showed a great increase in reported natural disasters. Reported is a lot different from actual. And in fact, we got a confirmation email from the data director confirming, yes, this was not an increase in actual disasters, but an increase in reporting. And if we look from 2000 on, after they finally built up their reporting system, we saw a significant decline in natural disasters since that point on, completely opposite of what the WMO had stated. NPR, CNN, The Guardian, they all ran with the story of fivefold increase in natural disasters when just the actual opposite occurred.
Did any of them run a story saying this story was misleading, the opposite occurred? No, they never retracted it, did they?
No, they don't do that. That would require honesty in reporting. And that's something fear, we don't get.
Fear sells, doesn't it? And so this is a dishonest movement, isn't it? A very dishonest movement.
It is. It's well, yes, it is. Fear is a great motivator, and it's being effectively used. Why else would we impose economically restrictive and economy killing plans on our economy? Unless the only reason you would do this and declare unilateral disarmament and economic warfare between us, China, and the rest of the world is if there was actually an existential threat, that there was actual planetary disaster looming because of increased CO2. But again, we don't see it. The science, the facts, and the data don't support that.
Let's talk a little about inconvenient facts. Who backed the global warming? The Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, Maurice Strong, Al Gore, Goldman Sachs, Richard Daley, William Ayers, Saul Alinsky, Saudi Arabia, China, the UN, and Barack Obama. Those were the main backers of it. And what would they want to do? They wanted to destroy the country, basically.
Yeah, we're finding that out, that the Russians, amongst others that you've listed there, were backing these green groups. And why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't China back the environmental zealots here? We're doing our part to commit economic suicide, all the while President Xi and Putin are rubbing their hands together in glee as we self-destruct here, as they're continuing to, they know, President Xi knows that he needs a growing, to get a growing economy and to become the powerhouse economy in the earth, he needs reliable, abundant, affordable energy.
Reliable, affordable. We'll be right back. The Biden administration is quickly moving to implement the liberal fantasy of socialist spending. After spending a $2.1 trillion stimulus, the president and Democratic-led Congress have introduced another $3 trillion plan to add to our insurmountable debt, seeking to raise taxes on Americans making as little as $200,000 a year. Have you seen the immigration footage? 87 million putting illegals in hotel rooms and our troops sleeping on parking garage floors. Could this be the biggest single gold buying opportunity in history? Well, Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs say this is the time to buy gold. Patriot Gold Group, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may qualify for a no-fee-for-life IRA. Call 800-356-4470 for details. Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs' top-rated gold IRA dealer, 5 years running. Call 800-356-4470 today. We're talking with Gregory Wrightstone. His CO2coalition.org is factual. He relies on facts. He relies on data. This isn't what he thinks. This isn't what he feels. This isn't what he believes. It's what the data shows him. He's going and following the data, following the science, the real science. Now, without CO2, the oceans would freeze. CO2 is necessary for life. Heat is life. Cold is death. It's that simple. 400 parts per million we have right now. It has been 3 to 4 times higher. We're actually a little low for plants right now, aren't we?
Yes. And thankfully, we're rising. We got down to some of the lowest levels of carbon dioxide in Earth's history at the end of the last ice age. We got down to about 180 parts per million, which is really, it's a scary number. Why is it scary and alarming? It's because we almost got to the what I call the line of death, which is 150 parts per million. That's the lower limit for plant life to exist, and we nearly crossed that threshold. We had ever gotten there, that would have been a true climate apocalypse. That would have been a devastating death knell for all plant and animal life on Earth to get below that threshold. So we've added about 130 parts per million, so we're still very close to that line of death. And plants are thriving because of this. The increase in CO2 is helping them. We're a little over 400 parts per million today. I just looked this morning; it was 417. So we're a little over 400, and it's likely that we could add another 1,000 parts per million, and plant life would continue to just thrive and prosper and benefit, increasing growth rates. Once you get maybe, we don't know really, probably above 1,500, the benefits slow down but don't stop. So we're not anywhere near, we're not likely to get to 1,000 parts per million in centuries from what we are at this rate. And so we should welcome the benefits, again, of increasing CO2. And it's the modest warming, too. We're in a warming trend. As you know, we've been warming. It started more than 300 years ago as we were in the depths of the Little Ice Age. So this is really, the warming we've seen is really a recovery out of that death-dealing cold of the Little Ice Age, which was, it was probably the coldest period of the last 10,000 years. So we're actually just recovering from that unusually cold period. If you look at the long-term scale, we're probably just approaching what Earth and its ecosystems' temperatures were used to over the last 10,000 years. And bear in mind, it was 10,000 years ago was the end of the last glacial advance that we saw. We're closer to the end of what we call an interglacial period, a warming period. These usually last 10 or 11,000 years, and that's about how long this period we're in has lasted. The next ice age could be coming sooner. Anytime it comes, it's going to be too soon because it's going to be horrific.
It will be horrific. Crops, everything else going to be horrific. 10 countries with the largest reduction of CO2, the U.S. was number one. 10 countries with the largest production of increase of CO2, China's number one, followed very closely with India. I mean, this is, and we are number one on the reduction by a large mark. Is that a good thing? I don't think it necessarily is. Do you?
I don't. It is a good thing in some ways. In that we're using more natural gas, and that's what led to that. There are some of those very old coal plants were somewhat dirty, and not a good thing. And so some of those old ones have been decommissioned and replaced with natural gas fired.
Even our old plants were better than what they got in China.
Yeah, now you're right about that. So we should, but what we do here at the CO2 Coalition is talk a lot about energy poverty and how coal-fired electricity in sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia, India, Vietnam, those areas, we can alleviate the billions and lift some of these billions of people that are living without electricity, living in destitute poverty, living in energy poverty, lift them up out of that by providing them electricity. I'll just give you one example. Our research associate, Vijay Jayaraj, lives in Bengaluru, India. 2 weeks ago, his wife just gave birth, but it was over 100 degrees. The electric was out for 5 hours. 100 degree heat. Wife on the fourth floor of their apartment having to walk up and down.
We need reliable energy. We need it. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wrightson.
All aboard the Truth Express. You can listen on your favorite podcast app or local radio station.
Patriot Gold Group, consumer affairs operated 5 years running where your IRA or 401k. Call 800-356-4470 today.
There's only one place to find the most recognized brand in carpet, Stainmaster, and that's at Lowe's. Right now, get free basic installation with the purchase of Stainmaster carpet and pad, $4.99 or more. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Install available in-store only. Requires non-refundable site assessment fee. Fee is credited to final project price if bought through Lowe's. More charges may apply. Not available in all areas. See Lowe's.com for details, exclusions, and licensure. Valid 219 through 413. U.S. only.